the Attorney General's Office and the Ghana Bar Association are on a collision course over vacation court sittings. Justice Francis Achibonga has been directed to continue the Edubuyin trial from today through August 13 within the legal vacation, which runs until September 30. But defense lawyer Samuel Atachia has objected, arguing the directive effectively forces his team to work while other lawyers are on recess. Together with Dummy and Partners and Sam Okujeto and Associates, they petitioned the Ghana Bar Association on the matter. The GBA has now written to the Chief Justice, insisting proceedings should not continue when counsel has indicated they are unavailable. Well, let's get details of that statement. Maxwell Agbapa joins me in studio. Maxwell, what exactly has the Ghana Bar Association told the Chief Justice?
Well, in this letter dated the 10th of August 2026, it starts with remarks, introductory remarks, and then moves on to the substance of the issue, and said that no sooner had we started settling down in the legal vacation after participating fully in anniversary celebrations, which were from April 16, 2026 to July 31, 2026, where two petitions brought to our notice registering displeasure with notices served on them by virtue of warrants issued to specific judges to continue with part head criminal cases during the legal vacation. Now it says, respectively, as stipulated in the High Court Civil Procedure Rules 2004 CR 47, specifically Order 79, the High Court annually observes three legal vacations, and per Rule 4, the second vacation in the legal year, which is the longest, is from August 1 to September 30. The reason is not far-fetched, as in the wisdom of the framers of the rules of court, lawyers, judges, and judicial staff require a deserved period of rest from the rigorous court schedule after the second term of the year, which is also the longest term in the legal year.
Well, Maxwell, we also know that the Deputy Attorney General, Dr. Justice Sremsai, says the legal vacation does not close the courts and that the decision to proceed rests with the judge. Tell us more about that statement.
It's a long one, but let me just summarize. He, first of all, disputes the Ghana Bar Association President's claim that vacation courts never conduct trials. He argues that a vacation judge can conduct both substantive proceedings, including trials and interlocutory matters in cases belonging to that judge's own court. He also rejects the claim that lawyers determine whether proceedings should take place during the legal vacation. Now, according to him, the authority rests with the bench, while lawyers can ask the judge for accommodation or an adjournment. He explains that courts do not completely shut down during the legal vacation. Instead, their workload is significantly reduced, with some judges authorized to sit during the period. He says the Chief Justice determines which judges sit during the vacation through a warrant, and those judges may handle their own cases as well as certain matters from courts whose judges are on vacation. His key concern is that allowing lawyers to determine whether proceedings go ahead would effectively shift control of court proceedings from judges to lawyers, which he says would undermine the proper administration of justice. He therefore argues that a lawyer who needs a break during the legal vacation should ask the judge for accommodation on a case-by-case basis. The judge can then decide whether to grant or refuse the request in the interest of justice. So that's from the Deputy Attorney General, Mamiusi.
Thank you very much, Maxwell. Let's go to the courts now, where my colleague Fatah Bayaga has been monitoring the sittings for today. We understand that an Accra High Court has rejected a letter filed by lawyers for four accused persons standing trial alongside former Chief Executive Officer of the National Petroleum Authority, Mustafa Abdul Hamid, and seven others over allegations of extorting monies from players in the petroleum sector. The defense teams had sought an adjournment of the case to October after the legal vacation. However, the court declined the request and held that proceedings would continue unless the Chief Justice, Paul Bafoboni, withdraws his warrant directing that selected high-profile criminal cases should proceed during the vacation. So, Fatal, why was this letter dismissed?
So these were lawyers for Bright Bediako Mensah, who is the CEO of Kell Logistics, and then Kweku Abuaji Akwa, director of Kings Energy Limited, and also their companies. In fact, they wrote to the court in this letter saying that they had prior arrangements and that they are not going to be in the jurisdiction within the legal vacation period. And that's exactly why they were praying to the court that the case be adjourned to October, so that when they return, the proceedings would continue. But the trial judge, Francis Apanga Chibonga, in his opinion or in his decision, said that he cannot single-handedly take this decision because it was a warrant issued by the Chief Justice for him to sit during this particular period, and that until the Chief Justice withdraws the warrant, the cases will continue to proceed here at the Accra High Court.
Well, you've also been engaging the lead counsel for former NPA boss former NPA boss, Mustafa Abdul Hamid, and also former Deputy Director General Joseph Pemka. What has he been saying?
So for him, in fact, he says that this particular warrant, issued by the Chief Justice is strange because ahead of the legal vacation, all of them had their personal commitments and they were, preparing tours, doing all of that. So it is novel, it is strange that the Chief Justice has actually, issued this particular warrant. And he explained that during this period, mostly the courts or the vacation courts only deal with urgent, cases or interlocutory matters and all of that. So it is strange that the Chief Justice has taken this decision.
We can listen. If you look at the Courts Act, particularly, I think it is Section 79, thereabout, it gives him the discretion to take certain decisions for sittings of court, including weekends and holidays and etc. The problem I have, which I have stated without equivocation, is that you realize that there are only two specialized courts, and they are the only two courts that are sitting during the vacation to hear substantive trials. I think that one thing I've realized is a number of people are getting confused between the substantive hearings and motions. You know that during the holidays, judges do not normally deal with the substantive hearings. It is only motions. So the holiday judges sit to hear motions and urgent applications. But if you look at the two specialized courts, they are asked to do normal hearings that we do during the normal period that we are in court, as against the vacation. So if you ask me, it's novel. We've not done that.
Well, Fatal, Mr. Pankar, is among other lawyers who petitioned the Chief Justice to withdraw his directive for the cases to continue during the legal vacation. What did he say about the Chief Justice, putting that forward?
Yes, so basically he said that, yes, he's hearing statements that the Chief Justice will not grant this and all of that. He said they will push to ensure that this particular warrant is withdrawn. In fact, he explained that, just like they said, ahead of this particular period, they had done a lot of arrangements, among other things. So it is, strange that the Chief Justice has done this. And in fact, he says that if the Chief Justice doesn't grant this, they have other options that they will pursue. We can listen to him again.
Well, we had written to the CJ, we petitioned the CJ that we had prior commitments. As a result of the vacation, we anticipated some had commitments here in the country and outside of the country. And we have petitioned the CJ, but there's no reply to that effect yet. So while we are waiting, that the Honorable Court was right in its wisdom to say that until a determination is made by the CJ rejecting or accepting the request to adjourn to October, he's going to continue to sit because he has to comply with the directive and warrant that he was given.
Well, also we know that Samuel Atachia, in a letter last week, said he will not be in court for the continuation of the Edubohin case, which is today. Did he come or not?
So Edubohin and his wife, all of them are in court, and also Deputy Attorney General Justice Shumsai. But one person that is present in the court is Edubohin, and also his legal counsel. Edubohin is not in court today, and no one from his firm at the moment is in court. And as I speak with you, the case is on, and the Deputy Attorney General is praying that the court should not, stop the proceedings until there's a directive from the Chief Justice to say that he has withdrawn his warrant.
All right, Fatou Bayaga there from the courts for us. Meanwhile, the Chief Justice, Paul Bafoboni, has defended the court's mandate to tackle cases including those involving corruption and illegal mining offences in special courts. He spoke at the Judicial Services Senior Staff's Second Quadrennial Delegates Congress in Sunyani.
We are pursuing reforms designed to make the administration of justice more efficient, more accessible, and more responsive to the needs of the people. Special courts have been created. As usual, it has a lot of opposition from politicians who speak with different tongues when they are in power or when they are in opposition. Now, special courts have been created to take care of what we have been hearing every year. Fallout from Auditor General's reports. We have special courts to deal with Galamsey, which is a national menace. And yet, instead of getting a pat on the shoulder, some members of the society think that these courts have been set up to take them. If you don't have any skeletons to hide in your cupboard, if you see anybody going to your cupboard, you don't get frightened.
And you hear that Chief Justice Paul Bafoboni. Away from the courts, it's day two of the indefinite strike by the Ghana Association of University Administrators. With senior members off the job, contract staff are now running key administrative offices at public universities. The strike, which began on Monday, has hit admissions, exams, academic records and procurement. A crucial meeting, we're told, is underway to resolve the dispute. My colleague Emmanuel Bright-Kweku has been making some checks on the situation this morning, joins me via Zoom for more. Emmanuel, what have you found out so far?
It's a question. The Natural Resource Minister, Emmanuel Amaku. Zema Traditional.
We apologize for that technical hitch. Well, here in Accra, my colleague Stephen Mensah has been engaging officials of the National Labour Commission about the strike. Stephen, what do we know?
Well, Mami, the key issue we are picking up from the National Labour Commission is that the association may not have followed the required procedure before embarking on the industrial action. And we understand from our sources at the NLC that the Ghana Association of University Administrators failed to notify both their employers and the commission. And this is significant because under Ghana's Labour Act 2003, Act 651, parties are required to go through the prescribed dispute resolution process before resorting to industrial action. Section 159 of that same act actually requires written notices to be given to both parties, that is the employers and the NLC, and that notice triggers a 7-day period before the industrial action can begin. And the purpose is to give the employer and the commission an opportunity to intervene, engage the union, and where possible, resolve the dispute before workers withdraw their services.
Okay, so we've also heard from the Ghana National Association of Teachers. What position have they taken on the concerns raised by the administrators?
So far, what we know from the Ghana National Association of Teachers is that they say that this strike is not justified and they are looking to ensure that the strike and the dispute is resolved as soon as possible.
All right, Stephen, thank you very much. Let's try Emmanuel Bright-Kweku once again. So, Emmanuel, tell us what you've been finding out.
Hello, Mamiens, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
All right, so we have been monitoring events at the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology. And in fact, we have been to the administration and also some IT offices at the university. And what our checks found out was that, especially at the parking lot, we realized that usually you should expect a lot more of the vehicles being parked there, but today it wasn't so. Most of the cars weren't around. There were empty spaces, supposing that these individuals are members of the Ghana Association of University Administrators. And then we moved to the IT office. But at the IT office, we realized that students who were seeking services were actually being served. We understand that some of these persons who were actually offering the services to the students are not members of the Ghana, the GAWOA. And so for them, the students were actually being served. We understand that once their services have been rendered, it will be difficult for them to pull through, especially in the sense that the administrators hold the key functions or the key password to some of the services that are being rendered to the students. And so it will be a bit difficult for the student to access any of them. So this has been the current situation on the KNUSC campus, that students, some of them are seeking services, but the contract staff are actually helping in terms of that, and especially those who are not members of the Ghana Association of University Administrators, Mamis.
All right, Bright, thank you very much for that. Well, let's go on the phone lines, also speak to Collins Rimpong, who is at the press conference being organized by the administrators. Collins, what have they been saying so far?
I mean, the presser just started, but before, I would like to paint a picture of how the situation is on the University of Ghana campus. Since I got here, I've been able to visit a few offices that GAWES members are working, and I've been to their accounts office where students largely go to process their financial details, and checks there shows that their staff there are currently working. I tried to engage a few of them, but they said they won't speak to me, so I should go to the public affairs. And I've also made checks at the public affairs, the University of Ghana campus, as well as the academic affairs, and specifically the transcript office. And my checks suggest that the staff are working. So I just engaged the president of GAWA on the University of Ghana campus and posed the question to him, why is it that his members are working? And he said they've been lenient with regards to the strike at the moment. But if whilst they are trying to draw government's attention to the situation, if they don't hear from government and government do not meet their demands, they are going to escalate the matter to the point that they will not allow students, the university, to conduct their exams for the upcoming end of semester exams, and also the admission process that are ongoing. They are going to halt it because their members are supposed to ensure that these things are done. Currently, the presser just started, so I'll be giving details later.
Thank you very much, Collins Frimpong there. Now, a forensic audit by the Auditor General has revealed an elaborate scheme allegedly run by staff of the Ghana Embassy in Washington, D.C. between 2019 and 2025. The report says applicants were extorted for visa and passport services with proceeds shared among staff. The findings have sparked renewed calls for a systemic approach to tackle financial irregularities across all Ghanaian embassies worldwide. Let's get details of that research from our colleague, Maxwell Aklobotu, who joins me in studio. Maxwell, explain to us how the scheme was carried out.
Yeah. So, Mamisi, according to the Auditor General's forensic audit, people applying for Ghanaian passport and visa at Ghana's embassy in Washington were allegedly directed from the official embassy's website to other privately controlled platforms.
Mm-hmm.
The platforms appear to be connected to the embassy, so applicants had little to believe they were dealing with anything other than an official process. Once on these platforms, applicants were required to pay additional charges for services such as the delivery of their passport and visas,
mm-hmm.
as well as application support services.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, Mamisi,
mm-hmm.
applicants were charged $29.75 to have their documents mailed back to them, even though the audit estimated that the actual postage cost was about $10,
wow.
10 cents. Yeah, so applicants thought they were paying for official embassy services, but the audit says they were being taken through a parallel payment system where additional and unauthorized charges were collected. The forensic audit also identified several sources of these irregular payments between 2019 and 2025. This included mailing and dispatch charges, application support fees, additional online payment or merchant charges,
mm-hmm.
and transactions involving entities like linked to the embassy's IT officer, whose name has been mentioned as Fred Quartin.
Okay.
Yeah, Mami. Yes.
Thank you very much, Maxwell, for that update. You're still listening to the Midday News here on Joy 99.7 FM. We'll take a break when we return with sports, and also government proposes incentives for gun.
Done beautifully.
Welcome back to the Midday News. Here with me, Mamisi Nyamiche-Thompson. We have sports now with Mubarak.
Yes, Mamisi, it's been 3 weeks since the end of the World Cup, which also marked the end of Carlos Queiroz's tenure as the head coach of the Black Stars. However, discussions over a possible contract renewal have stalled, with the FA yet to reach an agreement with the Portuguese gaffer. Muftau Nabila Abdullahi has more.
You have recalled that the Minister of Sports and Recreation and even the President of the country had all mentioned that it is important that the Portuguese is given the opportunity to steer the affairs of the technical direction of the Black Stars in the long term after he qualified Ghana to the round of 32 of the FIFA World Cup. However, it appears that the GFA is looking for alternatives to replace Carlos Queiroz as they are struggling to reach an agreement with the Portuguese. Per information picked up by Joy Sport, it doesn't appear Carlos Queiroz will be staying on as head coach of the Black Stars. Though conversations are still ongoing, it doesn't appear the two parties will be reaching an agreement anytime soon.
So, Mubarak, when is our next qualifiers?
It's in September. Ghana is in Group C alongside Ivory Coast, the Gambia, and then Somalia for a place in the 2027
AFCON. Will we have a coach by then?
I don't know. GFA, they are the only ones who can answer.
All right. Thank you very much for sports. Now, the Ministry of Local Government is proposing a system to incentivize Ghanaians in promoting good waste management systems. The ministry noted that without this incentive, citizens may not find the need to segregate waste at source for onward recycling and disposal by waste management. Deputy Director, Climate Action, Sustainability and Partnerships at the Ministry of Local Government, Godfred Fifi Buedi, spoke to Enjoy News' National Dialogue on Plastic Waste Management in partnership with Imani Center for Policy and Education.
If the citizen is not incentivized, well, they might think, well, it's still baller. I put this in my bin. Somebody must take it. They should take it out and go and deal with it. But it makes it more complex and more cumbersome to deal with. And so that is why you may want to have an incentive system, which we call the deposit refund system. And I draw your mind to some few years back here in Ghana. We had deposit refund system working very well.
Okay.
You remember some years ago when you go to buy minerals, Coca-Cola, Sprite, and all those things, we buy them in crates. You drink it, and you return the empty bottles to the shop that you bought it, and then you are given a certain refund.
Yeah.
I quite remember when we used to be young, my mother would ask me if we do parties in our house, and people come and they don't drink and they take the bottles away. They ask me to go into their homes to go and collect the bottles. Why? Because there is value on the bottles when we return them. That is the same mentality for the deposit refund.
Meanwhile, President of the Ghana Plastic Manufacturers Association, Ebobochi, says a multi-million dollar plant in Tema that is supposed to help recycle plastic waste is failing because of inadequate plastic waste and contamination.
This is for what we produce here. Of course, we still have a lot of imports, both smuggled and normal imports. For PET recycling waste, we are also doing, we have 7 major and then 59 SMEs. Put together, we are recycling about 42,000 metric tons. One of our members have set up a 38 million USD plant for PET. We call it RPET, recycled PET bottles, in Tema. It is sad to say that the plant